Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Happy, 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 happy Father's Day and happy Stepfather's Day. Everybody out there. Do I think I need to distinguish between the two?
No, not for people who do it, because you're just doing it. You're just doing what needs to be done.
Right in front of us, right?
Yeah.
You and I.
That's
it. Put in front of us and we did it.
That's it.
You know who has something in common and you wouldn't think to put these names all in the same blender?
Who's that?
Roberto Duran and Tre Rollins.
Whoa. The pride of Cordell, Georgia.
Both celebrating a birthday today.
Really?
Along with a name you haven't heard in a real long time, and I don't think people have seen, I haven't seen this movie in forever, Ron LaFleur.
Whoa.
Yeah, see, make that noise.
Folks at your house know about that. Because
yeah, Ron LaFleur, you remember the story behind that? He had involved in a murder, did some time, came back, played for the Tigers, made a movie about him with LeVar Burton.
Right.
Kunta Kinte.
Right.
He was an okay player. Wasn't a great player, was he? He was out there in the outfield with the Tigers during the mantle. Alan Trammell. How many years did he play for the Tigers?
I'm not sure.
We could probably look it up.
But he had some speed. I think he was
fast as could be.
Yeah.
And then ended up, I think he ended up with the White Sox. Because I kind of remember seeing him in them shorts that Bill Veeck made them dudes wear.
Yeah, those strange baseball uniforms with the shorts. Remember those? They had the White Sox that summer.
Another guy who's celebrating a birthday today and was supposed to have a very special day. In fact, have a first, were he to win his tournament today on his birthday. But it didn't happen. It ain't going to happen. Phil Mickelson.
No. Won't happen this time. Still looking for a U.S. Open.
He's not. Listen, the dude's career is set, but he does not have the career, at least so far this year, does not have the career Grand Slam. And this is the one alluding to. And that's got to leave a nasty taste. In his mouth, because he got close, like, what, six times, something like that?
Did not do any media. Didn't do any media this week. Avoided the press. Didn't go in to sit for the big press conference. And like we always said, there are only about five or six guys on tour that the media wants to talk to. The rest of these guys are finishing 15th every week and cashing big checks. And nobody bothers them.
Yeah.
But the only people that people, you know, the media really want to hear are from the main about five or six guys and whoever's winning the tournament.
Kerry Wood's also celebrating a birthday today. He of the 20 strikeouts in one game.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, happy Father's Day. You told a little bit of story, earlier about, you know, something you got from your dad, and I think that was something that a lot of fathers take pride in how their lawn looks.
Yeah.
And your pops was one of those. My father was like that too. I got thrown into cutting the grass.
I'm
good with that now. See, it was like I was the youngest.
Okay.
So the brother did it first.
Oh, you had to wait.
I didn't have to wait. I was just, you know, he was doing it. So not only did he stop doing it, he moved out the house. So
whoa.
I got all the chores.
Okay.
I had to cut the grass. I had to shovel the snow.
Ah.
Yeah, and we lived on the corner. So I had a sidewalk on both sides of the house, and then had to do the driveway. I'll never forget my father. One of the stories I have told that, you know, he called my mother to get a message to me. Because the snow was coming in Chicago this one particular day. And he was at work and wanted the driveway shoveled before he got home. Because otherwise he felt like he's going to get stuck in a driveway.
Right? Whoa. Right?
So he got that message to my mother.
Okay.
And my mother got it to me. I didn't get on it right away. And it was one of those deals where, okay, he's getting home at 6 o'clock. I'll start shoveling around 5:45 or something like that, right? Figured I could get it done.
Yeah.
I got out there and I was shoveling, and of course he pulled up.
Yeah.
And got stuck.
Whoa.
And I mean, the words that came out of him basically surrounding the fact that he drove all the way home and got stuck in his own blankety blank bleepity bleep driveway. That's one of them. I got many stories about Pops, and I have told them repeatedly, and I can't carry his you know what. as far as the things he's done in his life. But I will give you a page from something that I have done as a stepfather. One of the things I have done with Tracy and the kids as since we've been together is regularly go up to Chicago, right? And I show them around my hometown. But one of the, like, might have been the first visit, the four of us went up there and got a room downtown Chicago. I want to do it right. So while we were there, I think it was the second night, and we weren't staying where we normally, or excuse me, I wanted to make sure this place was special, so it was closer to downtown, right close to Michigan Avenue. Couldn't get that room, so we were on the other side of the river. Anyway, as is the case with kids who are 2 years apart and in their single digits, they got to fighting.
Oh, no.
Going at it.
Oh.
And mama couldn't get them to calm down. And the brother kept poking at his younger sister. So we decided to separate them. So I took McKenna, and I said, come on, let's take a walk. And she's like, at the time, being like 5 years old, right? Maybe, I take it back, maybe seven, okay? So at 10 o'clock at night, and I have said this before, one of the safest places to be if you're in Chicago is downtown because everybody's there.
Yeah.
They're all walking around, right? So I took her out, grabbed her hand, and we're walking around up and down a couple streets. And I really just wanted to separate her. It wasn't like I was going to take her someplace to show her something that late. But I had her hand. And again, it was a ton of people outside. So walking down this one street, and a group of guys were getting arrested. Right? And they had a couple guys on the ground next to the squad car. And then they had a guy thrust on the back of the trunk, and he was getting handcuffed. So, and again, like big cities, people just keep moving. They weren't stopping and gawking.
Nobody stops for that. Yeah.
Yeah, no, we just keep moving. And so as we're walking by, she had never seen anything like that before, right? So she's looking with the big eyes as a seven-year-old would do. And the guy is on the trunk, and he's, blah, and he's speaking Spanish. So I don't know what he's saying. Let me tell you something. You ever heard the phrase about kids being sponges as far as learning things?
Yeah.
One of the things that my wife would do is take the kids to a Mexican restaurant every Friday night at that time. And they became friends with the people who worked there and apparently had picked up some Spanish. So when we were walking by this guy who's draped over the trunk, getting handcuffed, and here we are walking on the street, I got the hand of this seven-year-old, and he's going on and on. He's speaking Spanish. And I said, just sort of out loud, geez, I wonder what he did. And she said to me, oh, he said he didn't do it. I said, what? He goes, yeah, he just said he didn't do it. I said, you got that? He said, I think that's what he said.
Wow.
I will never forget that. Yeah. I had a little translator right there, and she couldn't be more, you know, American. English is her first language. But again, she was seven, and she picked this up.
Yeah.
But that's one of those stories that I'll always remember.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
She going yeah. down, her first trip to Chicago. Yeah, he said he didn't do it. It's like a prosecutor.
You guys didn't figure that out? That's what he was saying?
I don't know. It was a continuous sort of rambling of whatever it was he was trying to tell the cop. And I don't speak Spanish, so it just, you know, I kind of tuned it out. I just heard him talking, right? I didn't know what he said. But when I said, as we passed him by, geez, I wonder what he did. You know, just kind of like that, just engaging her. And she just responds like Johnny Cochran. Your Honor, he said he didn't do it. So we're good. Anyway, that's my Father's Day story.
Yeah.
It's from my experiences. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We started off the show talking about the big trade, man.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk. By the way, we're not done talking Father's Day
experiences
because we're going to talk to, we're going to have the pleasure. Hopefully he will join us. You want to say actually who it is?
As father of a brave shortstop, Dansby Swanson.
We hadn't said that. That's right.
Yeah.
So we had on Mother's Day, Tyler Flowers' mother.
Yes. Another one of our hometown Braves.
Yep. And so today we are going to get a story. And when the thing about the parents of these guys are, they always come with a story that I would imagine the player doesn't want told on radio. So you want to stick around for that. But throughout the morning, we've been talking about the trade that took place last night in the NBA. Anthony Davis finally out of New Orleans and headed to the Lakers. Nobody's talked about whether or not he's said that he's going to sign a long-term deal. That was one of the things that was in play when other teams were thinking about making a trade for him. He was saying, look, he's out of there after one season. But that was all under the guise of him coming to L.A. Now he's in L.A. I've not heard that yet. This trade is still fairly new. Maybe that'll be something that comes out. But Lonzo Ball headed to New Orleans.
Headed to New Orleans.
And taking his daddy with him.
Maybe going to take some of that bottled water with him and them $400 shoes.
Is that company even still up and running?
I don't know. You know, Big Ball, he's a big baller on Bourbon Street.
Oh, see, no, don't give him no ideas.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Please don't give him no ideas. Yeah, see, that's going to be next week.
He's going to have his own float for Mardi Gras, man. Daddy Ball's going to be up there.
Somebody is copyrighting that right now.
With those $400 shoes that he can't sell, and he'll have them all on a big float riding down Bourbon Street during Mardi Gras. I can see it now. I can see it all now. But on his way out of L.A., he's made a promise. He made a guarantee that the Lakers would not win another championship, that they will not win this championship because they traded – they traded Lonzo.
All right, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
And Ken brought up something. Ken Roundtree, our producer extraordinaire, he has been coming with some stuff today.
He's on the other side of the glass.
I know, and he's been coming with some stuff. Some we can talk over there, some we can't. Yep. But he's been bringing it. He says, what if Daddy Ball gets down in New Orleans and start talking about what Zion needs to do?
Ooh.
Which, you know, is like part of what he does. What happens then? Do they say, we don't even want you around here? Has that been made understood initially? Because here's the thing. LeBron can pull him aside and say that. Because what's he going to say to LeBron? Magic Johnson could do that. What's he going to say to Magic? Okay. Who has that stature in New Orleans?
Well, I think the bottom line is Lonzo's got to go down there and play.
Well, again, but that never stopped his pops from mouthing off.
He was on his home turf. He was comfortable. He's going to a new place now. His son didn't go to school around the corner from the arena. You know, UCLA, that's not the case here. And I think his son also sees this is business. You know, your dad can't just talk you into someplace and you get to play and everything happen the way you expect it to happen. He's got to go there and he's got to earn it. And everybody's looked at him with a little bit of a skunk eye because his play has been inconsistent.
Absolutely right. I agree with you all on that, but that doesn't answer the question. Daddy disrupts things. He goes down there and pops off.
If you allow him to.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Who shuts him up in Louisiana? I mean, who goes to him and says, listen, we don't need this? Who's got the who's got the gravity of those two guys that you had in L.A. that put him on the back burner?
I think if the team goes out and they're doing well and progressing, I don't think they care what he says. I really don't. I don't think he's not in the locker room.
And I think in the locker room with the Lakers.
I don't think he had that big of an impact with the Lakers, actually. But like you said, maybe because of LeBron James and having a guy who's a veteran player in that league who, you know, gets to have his way at whatever team he plays with. And that's certain things going to be tuned out. It's tuned out. You wonder who has that, like you said. Would it have to be Alvin Gentry?
Delicate balance.
Would it have to be the coach? Would it have to be Alvin Gentry? I don't know who it would be in New Orleans.
You got a delicate balance going on right now in New Orleans. And the next decade depends on the moves they make, would you agree, over this next X amount of months?
Yeah.
With the picks that they have, with Zion coming in, and is Alvin Gentry going to be the coach moving forward? Got a lot of things in place. You don't need this dude popping off. I swear, I can't think of somebody. I don't want to bug Drew Brees because he's got the most pull in that city, I would imagine, as far as a sports fan. So you don't want to mess with Drew. But somebody might end up putting that dude somewhere in the bayou just to shut him up.
Wait, we hope not now.
We need to get rid of him because, you know, people end up in the bayou and they don't be seen again.
We're not trying to do that to him.
We ain't. I'm not saying us. I'm saying somebody down there.
It could be Lake Pontchartrain. It could be anything, a lot of water down there.
Is Les Miles still around? Huh? Where's he at? Where's old Les Miles in his chest at? Oh. He didn't have a particular chest for that. Where's old Les Miles at these days?
The coach, LSU.
Yeah, yeah.
He's out of Kansas.
Oh.
He's out of Kansas.
Let him go talk to that boy.
Yeah, he's out of Kansas, man. I'm trying to get people to come out there and play ball. You know, Kansas has never been a football school.
On this Father's Day, we are going to talk to, and I love this first name. Hopefully we get him here. Cooter Swanson.
Yeah.
Right? Talking about having a matinee idol for a son.
That's who
and
he
a
is.
Pretty good shortstop. That's up next on his Father's Day. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
They grind at bats. Back to the middle of the diamond. Dansby charges. Barehand play. Got him with a dig out. What a play.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Thanks to Fox Sports South for that call. Sam and Greg, weekend mornings. A happy Father's Day.
Yep.
To everyone, you just heard a great play featuring on the stars of our Atlanta Braves team. Our first place Atlanta Braves. Feels good to say that.
Yeah. Our first place. Knowing the Phillies.
Absolutely.
All kinds of issues.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dansby Swanson. And we watched this guy, you know, grow and become this staple in the infield that's made the Braves a big success that they are right now. Great to have a hometown guy to do it. And joining us now,
the girls kind of like him.
Yeah, they do.
And the girls kind of like him.
And joining us now, the waitforit.com outline, a guy who knows him better than most. That's because it's his dad, Mr. Cooter Swanson. Good morning, Mr. Swanson. Happy Happy Father's Day to you.
Well, thank you, and happy Father's Day to you guys.
Is it okay to ask where that first name came from?
Which one, mine or Dansby's?
Yours, Cooter, we got here.
My dad started calling me that when I was little because when he was a kid growing up in Kennesaw, the best baseball player in Kennesaw, they called him Cooter. So that's why I got that nickname.
Wow.
Okay.
And he was a good baseball player, too. And then you just handed it down. The next generation there in your house. Talk about growing up.
Hang on a second. Go ahead. Brought up Dansby. Where'd that one come from? There's a story behind that one.
Well, yeah. My wife, Dansby's mom's maiden name is Dansby, and her dad was an only child, and there were no other boys to carry the Dansby name on, and I wanted to name him Dansby to keep that name going. And we fought about it a little while because his mom said, I can't imagine calling my kid my last name, but talked her into it, and I think it's been great.
Yeah, peace in the house, too. That's right, man. There you go.
Great conversation with Mr. Swanson this morning. Very competitive household when you think about you not only inheriting that from you and your wife, but also his other siblings. Talk about what it's like growing up in the Swanson home.
We spent all our vacations, all our weekends, we were at the ballpark. His older brother, Chase, and his older sister, Lindsay, they both played baseball and softball and basketball. And that's who we are and what we did. And I tell people, it's sort of funny, when everybody gets together here at the house for holidays and all, there's blood on the ping pong table.
Blood? Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a serious time when everybody's here and it's time to go downstairs and play ping pong.
Dansby Swanson's dad, Cooter Swanson, joined at Sam McGregor Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9 The Game on this Father's Day. When was it? Of the three kids, you guys are all playing sports, but when was it in Dansby's upbringing that you know maybe he had something a little bit more special than his brothers and sisters?
I think he benefited from his brother and sister and just being at the ballpark and seeing competition and how to compete. And he hated losing so much that that was just a huge driver for him. And anytime somebody said he couldn't do something, that just fueled him to keep going. And of course, I saw him play more than anybody, and I always thought he was pretty good, and people would tell me he's better than I thought he was. But finally, his sophomore year at Vandy, when they won the World Series, he did so well. I sat back and said, "Well, maybe he is that good."
Yeah. Well, now he played more than one sport. I talked with your old coach Charlie Hood, who tells me Dance was a pretty good basketball player too.
Yeah. Yeah. He really. If you probably asked him, he'd probably tell you he would really rather be playing basketball. It's just fun to practice and, just the energy of the game and up and down. He was a pretty good high school basketball player. I think he probably ended up being third all-time three-point shooter over there, and they've had some good ones, Ezra Smith. He was a pretty good basketball player, just not big enough.
Cooter Swanson joining Sam and Greg here at Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You know, we got a lot of parents out there right now on this Father's Day who are doing what you did, and that's spending every weekend with their kid, supporting them, whatever the sport is. What kind of knowledge would you, now that you're not doing it anymore, would you pass on to parents who are going through what you went through as far as preparing your kid for maybe college or the professional level?
Well, we all want our kids to do great, so we push them and prod them and try to help them. You know, the I'd say the biggest thing is try to put your kid in a place where they can be successful. But at the same time, they have to learn how to be their own coach. You know, they have to take ownership of what they do and how they do it. And the coaches really should be there just to try to help them refine their tools. But in the end, it's your game, and you got to figure out how you do it and go from there.
Yeah. Mr. Swanson, you guys chose Vanderbilt, and Vanderbilt is back in the College Baseball World Series. Talk about that choice for him, and you talked about how it developed him. Some people say if you get drafted when you're in high school, do you go ahead and go to the pros and start working your way through the minors that way? You chose the college route, and it worked very well for him.
Well, one of the kids at Vandy, I think, put it best when he told me, he said, you know, I'm here because of Vanderbilt and Tim Corbin and the culture and all that, and I'm going to use this to tell me if I'm good enough to play pro baseball. I'm not going to do it struggling through the minor leagues. And so when you come out of there, if it's going to work for you by the time you're a junior, at least you got 3 years of school behind you and people that are totally invested in you in that program there. And, you know, I can't say enough about Vanderbilt and Tim Corbin. They are top shelf for us.
You got a lot of parents out there who are focusing on one particular sport for their child. Do you recommend, because you talked earlier about Dancy being a pretty good basketball player, do you recommend that the kids try and play as many sports as possible or focus on just that one?
For us, it's play as many as you can. I just think there's so many different tools and skill sets you can learn from. I firmly believe basketball made Dansby a much better baseball player, and the atmospheres and the different kind of personalities in all the sports. And I just think it's a better opportunity to make you a better rounded athlete and leader in the game you're going to play.
Yeah. Spend some time on the waitforit.com hotline on this Father's Day with the great sports dad, Cooter Swanson, who's also got to teach a Sunday school class here in another about an hour and a half. But also he's the father of Braves shortstop Dansby Swanson. February 11th, 1994, Dansby's born in Cobb County. You had no idea he would end up playing for the major league team in this town and that the team would be in Cobb County. By the time he grew up.
Man. I think I know what I was doing that day.
Talk about that.
Well, it's a great thing in a lot of ways, but in a lot of ways, yeah, we grew up here. We our roots are here, our families, we know so many people here and all, and then all of a sudden your kid's playing here. So everybody that we know seems like, and people that we don't know seems like, watch him go to work every day, and they make judgments on whether they like him or not, whether he gets a hit or makes an error. And, you know, I try to tell people that's just his job. That's just what he does, but that's not who he is. And no different than what you guys do. You know, sometimes you say something you might not want to, but that's not really who you are. That's just your job.
Please, that's daily around here. That's daily.
For me, too.
And to that point, let me ask you a question. Was Dansby ever part of them toilet papers going on over at Marietta High School?
No.
He's taking deep breaths, right? Okay.
Well,
how long has that been going on?
Because, I wouldn't let it do it.
How long has that been going on at Marietta?
Yeah.
I don't even know. It's a long time. You know, my wife and I went there, and that's just sort of one of those traditional things that they go over and make a mess for a day and take pictures and enjoy it and then clean it up.
Oh, it's if y'all ain't seen it, it's just crazy. They're trying to do it out of it, though. But listen, you got what is it like now? Forget about his play on the field. When you hear the noise about your son on the periphery, about how ladies feel about him, how he's being talked about by the fan base, the female fan base, if you will, how does that feel? Make you guys feel?
We just sort of tune all that stuff out and just, you know, say, okay, great, and just keep moving on. Because it's just words and people that don't know or whatever, so it really doesn't really mean anything. In the end, it just It's just people talking, and I don't know that it matters. So we try not to pay too much attention to that stuff.
He comes up to the big league team, and everybody has a lot of expectations to him, and it seemed like he really tried to live up to that going on, and it seemed like he caused some struggles. Seems like he's let things come to him the last couple of seasons. He's a lot more at ease and a lot more at home at what he's doing, and it's been reflected on his play. Has that been pretty much the way you've taken what's happened the last couple of seasons with him?
Yes, in some ways, you know, you have to learn how to deal with those external pressures and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, his expectations of himself are way higher than what anybody, any fans are out there thinking. So, you know, it took him some time. And I've told people, if the Braves can be patient with him for a little while, he's going to end up being a pretty good player.
More than just a pretty good player. We got him on the ballot for All-Star game, we hope. What would that mean?
I can't even tell you because, you know, I'm still trying to process the fact that I can go down and watch my kid play on the big league field, you know, for a big league team, you know, that this, you know, it's so rare. And I'm just happy for him. You know, we get to enjoy and watch it, but I'm happy for him because he works really, really hard and he cares. You know, he cares about his play, but he cares about his teammates. And, I'm just happy for him that he's achieving some of the success that he thinks he should be able to do. And he thinks he can do way more. So I'm interested to see how it's going to be.
Yeah.
Listen, if I'm Mr. Swanson here, I'm enjoying, as he said, watching my kid play Major League Baseball.
How about that?
That's enough right there.
That's a proud dad.
That is enough right there for me. Listen, we appreciate you joining us on this Father's Day, sir. Enjoy the rest of your day, and I guess enjoy the game later.
We're going. I'm taking my dad. It'll be a great day.
Oh yeah, man, that's a special
fantastic.
Day right
Happy
there.
Happy Father's Day to him, too, all right?
Thank you so much.
All right.
Have a great day.
You too now. That is Mr. Cooter Swanson.
He sounds even keel.
Yeah.
We were trying to have some fun with a little bit there, but he did want to. And again, that was a compliment to his son because, I mean, this guy is the heartthrob or one of the heartthrobs of the team.
Yeah, that's quite a few.
When you hear the lady, I get it, but still, it's kind of, you got to make him giggle a little bit when he hears about the lady swooning over his son.
But he came back and told you the thing, just the idea that I go get to watch.
Oh, exactly.
My kid play. I mean,
that sounds like someone who's not pushing their kids.
Yep. You know what I mean? He says, man, when I mentioned All-Star team, you say, you mean it gets better than this?
I was going to say, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. And we've talked
about it. Get it better than this.
We've interviewed parents where they're like, okay, now next is this.
Yeah.
Okay, we got to this level.
Yeah.
Next is this.
No.
And then next is this.
No. This is a dad who is totally just enjoying it and, you know, we talked about another dad earlier today.
I was
today,
just about to say, polar opposite.
Kid's going to play in New Orleans and play basketball. Mr. Swanson, obviously very competitive in the household as sports was a part of the upbringing and everybody just played. And Dansby just seemed to probably get up since he was the youngest. You know, he's probably had to, you know, work harder because he wanted to keep up with older siblings. And, you know, look at
there's
where
something to be said for that.
Yeah.
Well, I ended up being a better baseball player than my brother.
Yep.
I wouldn't say that in the same room of him. But, you know, I mean, because he's not going to admit it. The older brother never acquiesced to the younger brother. Younger sibling, I should say.
I like what he said about, having your kids sample as many different sports as you can. I know a lot of people have a sport that they may be comfortable with or said, man, he's going to play this or she's going to play that. Give them a chance to touch some other sports and see which one they
well,
really
not only to. That, but with the expense of some of these traveling teams and they go so long, you want to get your money's worth it so the kid doesn't have time to play another sport and they overlap so much. So you got a lot of issues. We both hear from parents all the time, and they have to make some decisions financially. And the other thing about this is it sounded like Mr. Swanson waited for that want to from Dansby. Instead of pushing him, they waited to hear this kid's, you know.
Well, hear it or see that, it.
Yeah, exactly, both.
To hear
you
it
know,
or see
how
it.
Much he wanted to win, how much he wanted to play baseball, whether it was baseball or basketball, it was that want to.
Yeah.
And I say the same thing for folks who are going in. You know, we hear from people in the sports world all the time, but now that I'm doing what I'm doing with Casting Call,
right.
It's the same thing with actors. Everybody wants to be in the movies. Everybody wants to be on this TV show. They want to be like, they want to sing like Cardi B. They want to be, Michael B. Jordan. And they want it for about a weekend. And then they want to go back to whatever it is they're doing before that. And it is a commitment. It's an effort, just like playing a sport. And I tell these people who want to dip their toe into the acting world, yeah, it's here in the backyard, but they will be a lot more terse than I am as far as telling you, your kid don't have it.
Yeah.
If you don't invest some time into doing this. And they got to want it. So don't you be the stage mom or dad and push your kid toward it. Wait till they show you that they really want to do it. I'm willing to take night classes, acting classes.
Yeah.
Or whatever to get into the industry.
Yeah.
Anyway, that was a good interview, man.
Yeah. We enjoyed having Mr. Swanson on.
And again, he seems kind of even keel and even about, well, just in general, but the success of his son.
Just enjoying it.
That's nice. We got a couple other things. We got a boxing match that took place last night.
And U.S. Open.
It's a redshirt Sunday, but not the kind we prefer. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Really tough read here. It's one of those that wobbles back and forth. Just tough to get the right read.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sam and Greg with you. It is a game day Sunday, and it's a Father's Day Sunday morning. Happy Father's Day to all the dads in the area. And by the way, we had invited you. Want to give shout-outs to your dad if you want to. You can give us a call, 404-741-0929, or text us on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 if you want to give a shout-out to dad or to a dad that you know. On this Father's Day. We'll let you do that this morning here on our program. I've just had, in case you missed it, our last segment, we had Mr. Cooter Swanson, the father of Dansby Swanson, the Braves shortstop, and we talked about just what, you know, how we enjoyed talking to him and sharing his experiences and, you know, the things that Dansby got to do growing up and that he's just a proud dad. So I know around the area there are a lot of just proud dads around the area who've been in that role. His dads or stepdads and have been there for that young person or those young people. You know, today is your day to sit back and just enjoy and reflect some. If it's been a few years, but just to know that you've made the contribution to that life by being there. And we say to the dads out there who are not being there to get involved. To me, that's the biggest thing that you can do, be involved for the dads who find reasons not to or seem like their roadblocks to come up. And I'll make an announcement. Somebody, I won't give his name because we do some work over at City Hall. And, you know, Mayor Keisha came up with an initiative for some young people, men who are like incarcerated but have children, for them to get job training while they're incarcerated. When they're released, they have a full-time job with the city of Atlanta.
Right.
And the first young man to go through that program, had a chance to get to know him and interview him and then see him later on, had his and his son as a guest over at the Georgia State basketball game. And he said one of the biggest things he wanted to do after getting out of whatever trouble he'd been in, now he's back in the workforce, labor force, working for the city, is that one of the biggest things he was looking forward to was being there for his son's football and basketball practices.
Right.
You want to be there and be dad. And I just say, you know, to me, that's the coolest thing about that. Someone who has been in that place where they're away and couldn't have an impact on their son's life. The thing that he couldn't wait to do most was be in a position to have that impact and have that relationship.
And you hope that that's something that he's allowed to do, because sometimes a lot of folks, and I had a friend who was like this, who didn't allow his father.
Yeah.
Who stepped back into his life. He didn't want nothing to do with him.
Yeah.
So you hope that he is received well by his kids and being allowed to have a second chance, if you will.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. We got him, had him over at a guest for a Georgia State basketball game this year. They came out and enjoyed it. And, you know, that's the thing he just was looking forward to doing. So a happy Father's Day for him. Definitely being able to play that role and be in that part and be a part of his son's life.
Two things that popped into my mind when you were telling it. One, I had another father thing that popped up in my mind. But the other one was when you actually mentioned Dansby's birth date on the air to when we had his father on.
February 11th, 1994.
I bet you could tell me what you were doing that day. And what does that say about us?
I was in North Carolina in 94. And that was 2 years before the Olympics.
Well,
you know, the Braves were still playing in Fulton County Stadium.
You said 2 years. You said 2 months. You know, it was two years. So, okay.
2 years.
But there was something that was about to happen that I'm going to mention later on. Well, actually, I'll do it
yeah,
the next hour.
How about that? Yeah,
how about
right,
it, right?
How about
just
that,
a
yeah.
few months later.
94.
And we mentioned that earlier in the show. There's a significance to tomorrow's
date. Matter
date.
Of fact, the Super Bowl had just left here.
Exactly.
The Super Bowl had been here just a few weeks before that.
I had also, the year before that, and getting back to Father's Day, you remember the big snow? Well, you weren't here. You were in North Carolina, man.
Which one, though?
93.
We've had a few where everybody left all the cars on the freeway.
No, this is back in 93. And my father came to town. He was actually relocating. He was retiring.
Okay.
And he was going down to Florida. And he had made various trips down there, and they were putting together a house, him and his second wife. And he stayed here in Atlanta. Now, me and my father became friends. I mean, he was always pops, and I was the youngest.
Mm-hmm.
But we did some stuff. You know, when and I don't know if that's because he missed out on doing stuff with my brother, my older brother and sister, who are significantly older than me. And so when he came down here, when I tell you that, you know, I ran him through the Gold Club.
Why, let me tell you something, because
it was part of Atlanta. And I knew some folks over there, and I'm at 96 Rock at the time being, and that's where you go if you work at a rock station. You had
you
friends.
You don't take your pops over there, though,
let me tell you something. We ran into a couple NBA coaches while we were there.
Of course coaches go there.
Okay? And we ran into some other folks
yeah.
that were elected.
Of course, they're there.
So I'm just saying. I wasn't with the dredges of Atlanta. There were some folks in there that had some nameplates outside their door. And then I took him over to the Omni.
Okay.
Omni was still here.
Yeah, Omni's still here.
And went in the way, you know, media people can get in
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
And there was a young kid in there practicing for their game that night against the Hawks, and he was the center for the Orlando Magic. Shaq. 93, Shaq.
Tiny fellow.
Yeah, he was in there, and he met him. I ran him around. Took him to a couple joints over on Buford Highway when Buford Highway was jumping back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm just saying, you know, these are the memories I have.
You took Dad to joints on Buford Highway.
We were friends. That wasn't father and son then. You see what I'm saying? We ran around the city. I took him around. He couldn't have been happier. There used to be a soul food place there called Queenie's.
Okay.
Where he was living, he hadn't seen any up there in that area. He remembers when we lived in Chicago, there were a bunch.
Yeah.
But hadn't been to one in a while. Took him over to Queenie's there, took him into Decatur. He had a big time here. That's one of the memories I have with him, okay? Took him to a Braves game at Disney.
Okay.
When we went down there to cover it. So, I mean, things like that I will remember. The fathering and the lessons that he taught me stay within me. But the fun things that I got a chance to do that I know my brother and sister didn't get a chance to do, that's the takeaway for me.
Yeah.
Well, that
was my dad. My dad always enjoyed the fringe benefits of whatever I did. If I was working, if I'm doing sports, you know, I can get him a ticket to something. Get mm-hmm. tickets? Yeah, I can get
yeah,
your tickets.
And they use this for that, too, right?
Yeah, that. I mean, it goes all the way back to me working in fast food. When I was in high school, I don't watch the serious, man. Hey.
Cheeseburgers
hey, No cheese. I worked for Church's Chicken.
Oh, yeah, please. I worked for
Church's Chicken on Washington Road. It's right there on the line of East Point and College Park. I was your directory guide if you came out on Friday and Saturday nights because all the apartment complexes down to Camp Creek had clubhouses and parties were going on.
Okay.
And people would tell me, so how you get to this clubhouse? Let me throw some names out there. How you get to Tecali? How do you get to Club Candlewood? How do you get to Bordeaux
Sound? Boy, you are connecting with people, right? That's Radio 101 right there. Good going.
How do you get to Windjammer? Those are places I hadn't been, but I knew how to get to them.
Right.
So I was explaining to people how to get to those places. But anyway, bought with my dad. When I would close at night, I would work at night and close. And this, I'm still in high school. And I would always call him because he was going to work the night shift. I was like, you getting ready to leave work? He says, yeah. So y'all got any chicken over there? I said, yeah. I said, yes, sir. What you? He said, come here. You got a thigh, you got a wing and a leg over there. He said, and can you give me a couple of them peppers? You know,
he's trying to remember the order while he's giving it to you. What y'all got over there?
What you got
some
over
there? Dirty rice, too?
You know, the peppers, you got, you know, the jalapeno peppers, and you wrap them up in some wax paper there at churches, and my dad wanted a couple of them to go with his chicken. So that's he always wherever I work, man. He wanted to, what was he getting out of it?
Sam and Greg Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92. See, that's the kind of story we love hearing from you.
What, Church's Chicken?
No, just your, just the Sam life. That's what we want to hear more of, the Sam life. Anyway.
Tickets to games and free chicken.
We got a shot at some jobs for you guys up next to the film and TV shows being shot all around the city. It is a casting call next. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.